The president calls for lower taxes for U.S. companies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. The president gave his State of the Union address last night. Among the major talking points, more money going to education, a pay freeze for federal employees, and the need for the U.S. to stay globally competitive. One of the ways Obama plans to achieve that is overhauling corporate taxes, lowering them, actually. Here's the president.
Get rid of the loopholes, level the playing field, and use the savings to lower the corporate tax rate for the first time in 25 years without adding to our deficit. It can be done.
Alisa Roth joins me live here in New York to talk corporate taxes. Good morning, Alisa.
Good morning.
So, Alisa, why is the president proposing to cut corporate taxes right now?
Well, it's theoretically, anyway, a way to help the economy grow and, as Obama said, not make the deficit worse. The government could cut the tax rate, which would give companies more money to spend in the economy, but it would also get rid of all the crazy deductions that let companies avoid taxes.
Oh.
It's a way for the administration to seem or even really be more business friendly. And it's a way to make the U.S. more competitive because our corporate tax code is so absurdly complicated. It's full of these loopholes, and at its top rate, which is 35%, it's one of the highest in the world.
Wow. Well, I mean, that all sounds good, but is there a chance that this would really happen?
Anything seems possible at this point. I mean, clearly there are some companies who would suffer a lot from a big tax overhaul, and it's safe to assume that we'll hear from them. The Democrats certainly would like to see companies pay more taxes, not less. But this is also something that's been under discussion for a while. The administration's been meeting with all kinds of big companies, presumably in part to lay the groundwork for this.
Our own Alisa Roth here with me in New York. Thank you, Alisa.
You're welcome.
The first big IPO of the year happens today. Nielsen, the ratings company, is set to go public. As Jennifer Collins reports, its market performance could set the tone for other privately held companies looking to go public.
Many people remember Nielsen as the company behind the diaries, where people wrote down everything they watched on TV. Today, Nielsen's into way more than television.
It's just growing exponentially.
Peter Harvey runs Intellidyne, a boutique ad tracking agency.
Now they're into all these analytics services within the internet.
Nielsen brings in around $5 billion a year, and Harvey says advertisers are clamoring for ever more detailed information about who their content reaches. David Menlo, president of IPO Financial, says Nielsen will face serious competition over the next few years.
Nielsen is basically the best of breed within its field at this point. You certainly wouldn't want to make that a statement that has a long shelf life with technology advancing the way it does almost on a minute-by-minute basis.
Menlo also says other companies, including Toys R Us and the hospital chain HCA, will be watching Nielsen's IPO to gauge the market for their own public offerings. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Obama's State of the Union had global markets in a good mood, for the most part. London's FTSE is up 1.25% this morning. So is Germany's DAX. Tokyo's Nikkei index bucked the trend. It fell 0.6%. That on news that Toyota is recalling more than 1.5 million vehicles, including two Lexus models, for problems that could cause fuel leakage. U.S. markets ended Monday on a mixed note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just a bit to close at 11,977.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
The World Economic Forum opened in Davos this morning, with dignitaries from all over the world arriving in the small Swiss town to talk free markets and economic recovery, hopefully. This year, a record number of attendees from emerging markets will be at the summit, including the largest ever delegation from China. Joining us now to talk Davos is our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, why are the Chinese at Davos in such big numbers this year?
Well, it's a good question because Davos, after all, is all about free market capitalism. And here you've got China with its communist government and its state-controlled capitalism. But Davos is a showcase, first and foremost, for the rich and powerful. And Professor Chris Rowley of the Cass Business School says the Chinese want to have a major presence in Davos to show off their economic power.
They feel they need to be taken seriously as a world player. I mean, it's not just the sweatshop of the world producing thousands of cheap T-shirts. They see themselves as an important economic entity in their own right. So it's to reflect that glory almost.
Interestingly, fewer American politicians and business people are expected in Davos this year because of the worry that when there are hard times and high unemployment back home, it may not look too good to be partying in a Swiss ski resort.
Right. So is this just a bunch of partying in the Swiss Alps, or does anything productive actually happen in Davos these days?
Well, you have to wonder when you look at the official agenda. I mean, just to give you a taste of it, the title of this whole forum is Shared Norms for the New Reality, whatever that means.
It does make me want to go skiing.
Yes, exactly. And many will. But it cannot be bad for some 35 different leaders from around the world to mingle with these top business people, clever academics and so on. Business pays for this, by the way. I mean, every business person present has paid at least $70,000 to get their foot in the door. So the businesses taking part clearly think it's worthwhile.
That's Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
And finally, McDonald's University in China trains restaurant managers to be all they can be in the world of burgers. And getting in is no happy meal. The school's acceptance rate is lower than Harvard's. Harvard accepts about 7% of the students who apply. McDonald's University accepts 1%. I mean, I guess you're pretty much guaranteed a job if you graduate from McDonald's U. And I hear the food's better. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Working from home can have some perks. Staying in your PJs, your bed doubling as a desk, and not needing to drive, of course. But can telecommuting really help save the planet?
It's quite possible to generate more energy from the building standpoint by telecommuting than you save.
I'm Kai Rizdal. One less excuse for working from home. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.